All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Today is episode 101. We are going to talk about psychological manipulators, false flag operations, and potential Manchurian candidates. Today's date is April 15th, 2022. My name is Doug Thornton, and I am the host of the American Vindicta Show. I'm going to give you a series of definitions and some intelligence operations in hopes that I can bring to light of the enemy's workings that are done mostly in the dark. My intent is to weaponize your mind and better equip you with your cognitive processes. Welcome to the class. Let's begin. Today's overall subjective is based off my conspiratorial question. Are we being manipulated into a civil war? And by that, what methods of manipulation are we aware of? First, let us define psychological manipulation, and then we will talk about government-funded projects involving manipulation. So, what is psychological manipulation? Well, psychological manipulation is a type of social influence that aims to change the behavior or perception of others through abusive, deceptive, or underhand tactics by advancing the interests of the manipulator, often at another's expense. Such methods could be considered exploitative, abusive, devious, and deceptive. There are 12 common manipulation tactics. People can manipulate others using hundreds of tactics. Some of the most common include using intentional emotional connection to control another person's behavior. For example, an abusive person may try to manipulate a person by moving very quickly in a romantic relationship. They may overwhelm their victim with loving gestures to lower their guard or make them feel indebted. 2. Playing on a person's insecurities. This is a popular tactic among advertisers, such as when a cosmetic company makes a person feel unattractive or old. It also works well in interpersonal relationships. For instance, someone may make their romantic partner think no one else could ever possibly love them the way they do. Number 3. Lying in denial. Manipulators may bombard their victims with lies. When they're caught, they may deny the lie or cover it up with another falsehood. 4. Hyperbole and generalization. It's difficult to respond to an allegation of never being loved or never working hard. Specific details can be debated, while vague accusations are often harder to dispute. Number 5. Changing the subject. Then there's also number 6, moving the goalpost. Number 7, using fear to control another person. Number 8, using social inequalities to control another person. Number 9 is using passive aggression. Number 10 is giving the person the silent treatment. 11, gaslighting. Number 12, recruiting others to help with manipulation. This is the one that most pertains to this conversation. For example, an abusive parent might ask family members to remind a child how much the parent has sacrificed for the child. The social pressure may convince the child to stop complaining about abusive behavior. A manipulative person may combine these tactics or alternate between different tactics depending on the context. Now, depending on this context, We're talking about manipulation within the media, within inter-societal circles about racism, or let's say about the weaponizing of racism and different groups and their tactics, which they use to influence others who are easily influenced, and then by that, either malevolently or by other means, they trigger people with content, they trigger people, and that trigger event is what happens in their mind when there's an element of psychosis and their mind just snaps. And there are trigger events that are on TV constantly being displayed. There are trigger events that politicians constantly speak about. And there are trigger events, depending on the city that you live in, within the area that you live in, that societal groups, honestly, they are harbingers of. They talk about these trigger events consistently. You know, oppression, the need to have vengeance upon another person or a group of people. So that's what we're trying to confront right now. And I'm giving you this little lecture of mine based off of many people's comments about what's happening with the active shooter that we saw in Brooklyn, New York. If you look at many of this man's online conversations that he's had, or some of the videos that he's made, they're all very racially based. There's a real heightened level of stress, intimidation, and fear that is put into his words. There's a lot of hyperbolic gestures that are in his words, but the thing we have to pay attention to is that this man got these ideas from groups of people who have been around for decades in America spreading these lies. And what I want to know is, who are the influencers of these lies? How many other people can be influenced? Because we haven't seen it yet, and hopefully we don't, but after a mass shooting, we have the phenomena of the copycat killer. There are typically manifestos left about this. They're, these people are typically politically motivated, racially motivated, or they have some sort of a internal stress that triggers them, for whatever reason, to go out and commit heinous acts of crime. So, right now, that's what we're covering with the manipulation part. And let's talk about where this really, I don't want to say began, but where it really grew legs and started to walk on its own. So we've covered psychological manipulation, but what clandestine government projects exclusively covered this subject? Well, let's begin with Project MKUltra. MKUltra, also known as just MKUltra, Project MKUltra, Operation MKUltra. You can look all these up on the internet and find them yourself. MKUltra was the code name for a CIA mind control research program that began in the 1950s. There is much published evidence that the project involved not only then used drugs to manipulate persons, but also the use of electronic signals to alter brain functioning. It was first brought to wide public attention by the U.S. Congress in the form of the Church Committee and a presidential commission known as the Rockefeller Commission, and also to the United States Senate. On the Senate floor in 1977, Senator Ted Kennedy said, "The deputy director of the CIA revealed that over 30 universities and institutions were involved in an extensive testing and experimentation program, which included covert drug testing on unwitting citizens at all societal levels, high and low, Native Americans and foreign. Several of these tests involved the administration of LSD to unwitting subjects in social situations. At least one death, that of Dr. Olson, resulted from these activities. The agency itself acknowledged that these tests made little scientific sense. The agents doing the monitoring were not qualified scientific observers. MK Ultra. It was a top-secret CIA project in which the agency conducted hundreds of clandestine experiments, sometimes, as we said, on unwitting U.S. citizens, that means without their consent, to assess the potential use of LSD and other drugs for mind control information, gathering, and psychological torture. Though Project MKUltra lasted from 1953 until about 1973, details of the illicit program didn't become public until 1975, during a congressional investigation to this widespread illegal CIA activities within the United States and also around the world. Here's my question for you. During MKUltra, they used LSD, marijuana, barbiturates, alcohol, all different types of drugs that can make one susceptible and easily influenced. Well, can the internet, can Twitter, can Facebook, can YouTube, can they do the same thing? I would have to say that it can have the same level of effects on the brain if you consistently watch YouTube, if you consistently listen to or watch the news, or if you have to check your phone every 5 seconds to see if someone's responded to a comment that you've made on one of these many social application forms. There are elements of mind control within all of this. The internet was designed for certain things, but the phone, that thing in your hand, was designed for something much different. At this point, I'll tell you that the phone, the ability to access the internet, and all these other social media platforms are doing exactly what they were made to do. And I'll just leave it at that. The Cold War and Project MKUltra. In the 1950s and 60s, the height of the Soviet Cold War, the United States government feared that Soviets, Chinese, and North Korean agents were using mind control to brainwash U.S. prisoners of war in Korea. In response, CIA Director Alan Dulles approved Project MKUltra in 1953. The covert operation aimed to develop techniques that could be used against Soviet bloc enemies to control human behavior with drugs and other psychological manipulators. In 1964, the project was renamed MK Search. The project attempted to produce a perfect truth drug for use in interrogating suspected Soviet spies during the Cold War, and generally to explore any other possibilities of mind control. Because most of the MKUltra records were deliberately destroyed in 1972, by order of the director at that time, Richard Helms, it is impossible to have a complete understanding of the more than 150 individually funded research projects sponsored by MKUltra and the related CIA programs. The program involved more than 150 human experiments involving psychedelic drugs, paralytics, and electroshock therapy. Sometimes the test subjects knew they were participating in a study, but at other times they had no idea, even when the hallucinogens started taking effect. Many of the tests were conducted at universities, hospitals, or prisons in the United States and Canada. Most of these took place between 1953 and 1964, but it's not clear how many people were involved in the test. The agency kept notoriously poor records and destroyed most MKUltra documents when the program was officially halted in 1973. Now let's talk about LSD and Sidney Gottlieb. The CIA began to experiment with LSD under the direction of agency chemist and poison expert Sidney Gottlieb. He believed the agency could harness the drug's mind-altering properties for brainwashing or psychological torture. Under the auspices of Project MKUltra, the CIA began to fund studies at Columbia University, Stanford University, and other colleges on the effects of the drug. After a series of tests, the drug was deemed too unpredictable for use in counterintelligence. MKUltra also included experiments with MDMA, or ecstasy, heroin, mescaline, barbiturates, methamphetamines, and psilocybin magic mushrooms. Central Intelligence Agency documents suggest that the agency considered and explored uses of radiation for the purposes of mind control as part of MKUltra. Other early effects focused on LSD, which appears to have formed the majority of research as what went on at the time. Experiments included administering the drugs to CIA employees, military personnel, doctors, other government agents, prostitutes, mentally ill patients, and members of the general public in order to study their reactions without the subject's knowledge. The experiments often took a sadistic turn. Gottlieb was known to torture victims by locking them in sensory deprivation chambers while under the psychedelic influence of LSD, or to make recordings of psychiatric patients' therapy sessions and then play a tape loop of the patient's most self-degrading statement over and over through headphones after the patient had been restrained in a straitjacket and dosed with LSD. Gottlieb himself took LSD frequently, locking himself in his office and taking copious notes. Efforts to recruit subjects were often illegal, even discounting the fact that drugs were being administered through the actual use of LSD, for example, which was legal in the United States in 1967. In Operation Midnight Climax, the CIA set up several brothels to obtain a selection of men who would be too embarrassed to talk about the events. The brothels were equipped with one-way mirrors, and sessions were taped for later viewing. Some subjects' participation was consensual, and in these cases, the subjects appeared to be singled out for even more horrific experiments. In one case, a selection of volunteers were given LSD for 69 days straight. LSD was eventually dismissed by the researchers as too unpredictable in its effects. Although useful information was sometimes obtained through questioning subjects on LSD, not uncommonly the most marked effect would be the subject's absolute and utter certainty that they were able to withstand any form of interrogation attempt, even physical torture. Another technique was connecting a barbiturate IV into one arm and a amphetamine IV into the other. The barbiturates were released to the subject first, and as soon as the subject began to fall asleep, the amphetamines were released. The subject began babbling incoherently at this point, and it was sometimes possible to ask questions and get useful answers. This treatment was discarded as it often resulted in the death of the patient from physical side effects of the drug combination, thus making further interrogation impossible. Other experiments involved heroin, mescaline, psilocybin mushrooms, scopolamine, marijuana, alcohol, and sodium pentothal. There is no evidence that the CIA or anyone else has actually succeeded in controlling a person's actions through the use of mind control techniques that are known to have been attempted in the MKUltra projects. The foul destruction undertaken at the order of CIA Director Richard Helms in 1972 makes a full investigation of claims completely impossible. Now, their budget for MKUltra was a secret arrangement granted a percentage of the CIA budget. The MKUltra director was granted 6% of the CIA's operating budget in 1953 without oversight or accounting, which means deep pockets. Now, Operation Midnight Climax and why that's so important. Operation Midnight Climax was also a MKUltra project in which government-employed prostitutes lured unsuspecting men to CIA safe houses where drug experiments took place. The CIA dosed the men with LSD and then, while at times drinking cocktails behind a two-way mirror, watched the drug's effects on the men's behavior. Recording devices were installed in the prostitutes' rooms disguised as electrical outlets. Most of the Operation Midnight Climax experiments took place in San Francisco and Marin County, California, and in New York City. The program had little oversight, and the CIA agents involved admitted that a freewheeling, party-like atmosphere prevailed. An agent named George White wrote to Gottlieb in 1971, stating, "Of course I was a very minor missionary, actually a heretic, but I toiled wholeheartedly in the vineyards because it was fun, fun, fun. Where else could a red-blooded American boy lie, kill, and cheat, steal, deceive, rape, and pillage with the sanction and blessing of the All-Highest?" What that means is eventually when people are given an unlimited amount of money to commit devious acts, they themselves will very much fall in love with it. Moving on, the death of Frank Olson. Now, Frank Olson was a scientist who worked for the CIA. At a 1953 CIA retreat, Olson drank a cocktail that had been secretly spiked with LSD. A few days later, on November 28, 1953, Olson tumbled to his death from the window of a New York City hotel room in an alleged suicide. The family of Frank Olson decided to have a second autopsy performed in 1994. A forensics team found injuries on the body that had likely occurred before the fall. The findings sparked conspiracy theories that Olson might have been assassinated by the CIA. After prolonged legal proceedings, Dr. Olson's family was awarded a $750,000 award and received a personal apology from President Gerald Ford and then Director William Colby. Ken Casey and other MK Ultra participants. Now, Ken Casey was the author of the 1962 novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He volunteered for MK Ultra experiments with LSD while he was a college student at Stanford University. Casey later went on to promote the drug, hosting LSD-fueled parties that he called acid tests. Acid tests combine drugs with the use of musical performances by bands including the Grateful Dead and psychedelic effects such as fluorescent paint and black lights. These parties influenced the early development of the hippie culture and kickstarted the 1960s psychedelic drug scene. Other notable people who reportedly volunteered for CIA-backed experiments with LSD include Robert Hunter, the Grateful Dead lyricist Ted Kaczynski, better known as the Unabomber, and James Joseph Whitey Bulger, the notorious Boston mobster. Now, let's discuss the Church Committee. In 1974, New York Times journalist Seymour Hersh published a story about how the CIA had conducted non-consensual drug experiments in illegal spying operations on U.S. citizens. His report stated that the lengthy process of bringing long-suppressed details about MKUltra to the light of the public. The following year, President Ford, in the wake of the Watergate scandal amid growing distrust of the U.S. government, set up the United States President's Commission on CIA Activities within the United States to investigate illegal CIA activities, including Project MKUltra and other experiments on unsuspecting citizens. In December of 1974, the New York Times reported that the CIA had conducted illegal domestic activities, including experiments on U.S. citizens, during the 1960s. The report prompted investigations by both the U.S. Congress in the form of the Church Committee and Presidential Commission known as the Rockefeller Commission into the domestic activities of the CIA, the FBI, and intelligence-related agencies of the military. In the summer of 1975, congressional hearings and the Rockefeller Commission report revealed to the public for the first time that the CIA and the Department of Defense had conducted experiments on both cognizant and unwitting human subjects as part of an extensive program to influence and control human behavior through the use of psychoactive drugs such as LSD and mescaline and other chemical, biological, and psychological means. They also revealed that at least one subject had died during the administration. Now I'm going to stop right there. During the same time frame when MKUltra was created, also was created the Project Mockingbird, or Operation Mockingbird, which once again is the CIA. And what they did was they had bought and paid for the mainstream media, as you would say today, the journalists of the day, newspaper article writers, magazine owners and writers, media companies. They bought and paid, threatened and bartered, or I would say bribed, their way through the media to change or influence the United States citizens' public opinions by writing very descript and tainted influential political articles that were from there disseminated to hundreds, over 300 different places where the articles would be published, and it would help to convince Americans of a certain opinion that the government was peddling. At that point in time, in the 40s to 60s, it was all about the Red Scare and the Russians. What about now, though? We know that that same operation is continuing now with the CIA having its fingers throughout mainstream media, probably also Twitter, probably also YouTube. We know that if you say anything against the elections or anything against COVID, that you are immediately deemed to be an enemy of the state. And if you are an influential person and you go against the grain of the narrative that the government writes, they will come after you. Well, during Operation Mockingbird, Director Hoover of the FBI, who was not exactly a fan of the CIA, even had some of his investigators investigate the men who were in charge of the operation of Mockingbird and the CIA, and found that many of them had connections to communists in one way or another, or at least that they claim to have had evidence of this. They attacked the wrong man. Hoover's G-Man pulled up the dirt on some of the wrong people within the CIA, and the CIA unleashed Operation Mockingbird on the FBI, specifically on Hoover and the FBI's agents, turning the media and the influence of the media on the American citizens against the FBI. Now, I want you to consider that when you see all these things happening around the world right now, when you see how Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, and at the moment that he has the ability to, a bought and paid for George Soros, Bill Gates, World Economic Forum group comes in, secures more pieces of Twitter than what Elon can, and now has basically moved in checkmate to not allow Elon to take overall control of Twitter. All right? the power and influence through the media. If you see what they say about Elon now, they used to always be on Elon's side. But when Elon went against the grain of Joe Biden, of Obama, of Hillary Clinton, they went after him. Elon Musk is probably one of the most innovative creators of technology that we have today, who has, or the express intent to have, beneficial technology for humans, for mankind. We'll see how that plays out. But you can bet that as long as Elon Musk and others like him challenge the government narrative, they will unleash the hidden operations that they don't talk about them very much, and they will shut down Elon. They will declare him a domestic violent extremist based off of his rhetoric or his financial means, and they'll investigate him. And already, we know that the Department of Justice and the SEC are launching a formal investigation into Elon Musk after he purchased so much of Twitter off of the stocks. Why this is important, why I'm telling you this is so important, is for you to understand this is real. There are real operations that are what they would say clandestine and classified, but are out in the open now. And these clandestine and classified operations, what they would say, are closed and not funded anymore. I would tell you are not closed and are still part of the black budget that James Comey would not talk about in front of Congress back in the, I would say, about 2015, 2016. There is a black budget out there that the FBI has their hands in, the CIA has their hands in, and it contains money for all of the how would I say this carefully? It contains money and the marching orders for the intelligence communities to do more or less whatever they need to. Now, that's not always beneficial to Americans. In fact, if you have listened thus far, MKUltra is not exactly beneficial. There are other portions of this within MKUltra. Now, following the recommendations of the Church Committee, President Gerald Ford in 1976 issued the first executive order on intelligence activities, which, among other things, prohibited experimentation with drugs on human subjects, except with the informed consent and writing and witnessed by a disinterested party for each such human subject, and in accordance with the guidelines issued by the National Commission. Subsequent orders by Presidents Carter and President Reagan expanded the directive to apply to any human experimentation. Following on the heels of the revelations about the CIA experiments were similar stories about the Army. In response, in 1975, the Secretary of the Army instructed the Army Inspector General to conduct a self-investigation. Among the findings of the Inspector General was the existence of the then still classified 1953 Wilson Memorandum. In response to the Inspector General's investigation, the Wilson Memorandum was declassified in August of 1975. The Inspector General also found that the requirements of the 1953 Memorandum had, at least in regard to Army drug testing, been essentially followed as written. The Army used only volunteers for its drug testing program, with one or two exceptions. However, the Inspector General concluded that the volunteers were not fully informed, as required, prior to that their participation, and the methods of procuring their services, in many cases, appeared not to have been in accord with the intent of the Department of the Army's policies governing use of volunteers in research. The Inspector General also noted that the evidence clearly reflected that every possible medical consideration was observed by the professional investigators at the medical research laboratories. This conclusion, if accurate, is in striking contrast to what took place at the CIA. In Canada, the issue took much longer to surface. Among widely known in 1984 on a CBC News, the Fifth Estate, it was learned that not only had the CIA funded Dr. Cameron's efforts, but perhaps even more shockingly, the Canadian government was fully aware of this and had later provided another $500,000 in funding to continue the experiments. The revelation largely derailed efforts by the victims to sue the CIA as their U.S. counterparts had, and the Canadian government eventually settled out of court for $100,000 to each of the 127 victims. Now, I kind of skipped over this a while ago, but the CIA also performed these same medical experiments on 127 unsuspecting victims throughout Canada. Food for thought. Now, the U.S. General Accounting Office and their report. The U.S. General Accounting Office issued a report on September 28, 1994, which stated that between 1940 and 1974, the Department of Defense and other national security agencies studied hundreds of thousands of human subjects in tests and experiments involving hazardous substances. Not hundreds, not thousands, hundreds of thousands of unknown people exposed to hazardous experiments and substances. The quote from the study, by the way, working with the CIA, the Department of Defense gave hallucinogenic drugs to thousands of volunteer soldiers, quote, volunteer soldiers in the 1950s and 60s. In addition to LSD, the Army also tested benzylate, a hallucinogenic code named BZ. Many of these tests were conducted under the so-called MKUltra program, established to counter perceived Soviet and Chinese advances in brainwashing techniques. Between 1953 and 1964, the program consisted of 149 subjects involving drug testing and other studies on unwitting human subjects, as we've said previously. The revelations about the CIA and the Army prompted a number of subjects of their survivors to file lawsuits against the federal government for conducting illegal experiments. Although the government aggressively and sometimes successfully sought to avoid legal liability, several plaintiffs did receive compensation through court order, out-of-court settlement, or acts of Congress. Dr. Frank Olson's family, as we said, received $750,000 by a special act of Congress, and both President Ford and Director William Colby met with Olson's family to publicly apologize. Previously, the CIA and the Army had actively and successfully sought to withhold incriminating information, even as they secretly provided compensation to these families. One subject of the Army's drug experimentation, James Stanley, an Army sergeant, brought an important, albeit unsuccessful, lawsuit. The government argued that Stanley was barred from suing under a legal doctrine, known as the Ferres Doctrine, F-E-R-E-S Doctrine. After a 1950 Supreme Court, Ferres versus United States, that prohibits members of the armed forces from suing the government for any harms that were inflicted incident to service. In 1987, the Supreme Court affirmed this defense in a 5-4 decision that dismissed Stanley's case. The majority argued that a test for a liability that depends on the extent to which particular suits would call into question military discipline and decision-making would itself require judicial inquiry into and hence intrusion upon military matters and dissent. Justice William Brennan argued that the need to preserve military discipline should not protect the government from liability and punishment for serious violations of constitutional rights. The medical trials at Nuremberg in 1947 deeply impressed upon the world that experimentation with unknowing human subjects is morally and legally unacceptable. The United States Military Tribunal established the Nuremberg Code as a standard against which to judge German scientists who experimented with human subjects. In defiance of this principle, military intelligence officials began surreptitiously testing chemical and biological materials, including LSD. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, writing a separate dissent, stated, "No judicially crafted rule should insulate from liability the involuntary and unknowing human experimentation alleged to have occurred in this case. Indeed, as Justice Brennan observes, the United States played an instrumental role in the criminal prosecution of Nazi officials who experimented with human subjects during the Second World War, and the standards that the Nuremberg military tribunals developed to judge the behavior of the defendant stated that the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential to satisfy moral, ethical, and legal concepts. If this principle is violated, the very least that society can do is to see that the victims are compensated as best they can be by the perpetrators. This is the only Supreme Court case to address the application of the Nuremberg Code to experimentation sponsored by the U.S. government. And while the suit was unsuccessful, dissenting opinions put the Army and, by association, the entire government on notice that the use of individuals without their consent is unacceptable. The limited application of the Nuremberg Code in U.S. courts does not detract from the power of the principles it espouses, especially in light of stories of failure to follow these basic principles that appeared in the media and professional literature during the 1960s and 70s, and the policies eventually were adopted in the mid-1970s. Now then, as we were stating about the media, have you heard of Operation Mockingbird? Operation Mockingbird is a CIA project that used members of the U.S. media and its papers, magazines, channels, and special programs to influence the opinion of Americans and control oppositions through threats and large part bribery. This happened not just in the United States, but it happened all throughout the world. Even President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who through part of Operation Mockingbird was actually elected, came after it. And because he came after the CIA started to come after him. Now, just consider this. You are told by your government that if you believe that you don't trust the science of Dr. Fauci, if you don't believe Joe Biden is the president, if you believe there's election meddling, if you are a Christian, you're a gun owner, if you're white, if you believe in only men and women in relationships, if you believe in basic Christian fundamentalism, if you like guns, if you are nationalistic in your ideas of America, if you disagree with the government and their opinions, they have labeled you as a domestic violent extremist or a potential threat to the homeland. I am on that list. So are many of you. I want you to consider this, based off of everything that we've just discussed. You've heard me say this before. I believe there's a civil war coming in this country. I remember while serving under President Obama, every protest that we went to during those times were racially motivated. That was when your whole Black Lives Matter stuff really started. And I remember very fondly whenever the members of his cabinet more or less came out and said that, you know, cops are the real enemies, cops are racist, white people are racist, everybody except for blacks are racist. Now, I don't like talking about racial disputes, but it is a part of a psychological operation that we're going through. I don't believe in the whole racial theory stuff. If you don't like someone based off their color, I think you're stupid. And honestly, you're wasting everybody's time. But there is an obvious operation out there that many of us noticed while Obama was the president, that the use for racial injustice, the in air quotes injustice, the use for racism was an effective means of gathering opposition forces and pitting them against each other. And then when Donald Trump came, it was people who were BLM supporters, people who were part of La Raza, which is the race of the Hispanic communities. And then you had various other, how would I say this, communist manifesto marching liberals like Antifa and BAMF and others who all joined arms and decided that today is the day, this is the president, we're going to attack the country. Every bit of that is brought to you by MKUltra. It's brought to you by Operation Mockingbird. It's brought to you by the communists, the societies who populate the areas of politicians that are communists, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. And even though they may not outright be communist, if they don't speak out against it, then you are for it in my eyes. Okay? Just how they always say, if you don't speak out against X, Y, and Z, then you're basically for it. Well, let's just go ahead and take the latter. They were for Antifa. They were for BLM. They were for the riots. They were for the manipulation that they knew was wrong based off of the unfortunate killing of George Floyd. They knew the narrative was wrong, but they went with it. And you saw the marching orders of every single media source that's out there, to include Fox News. They all repeated the same exact thing about the George Floyd incident or about Donald Trump. Then they did the same thing about COVID. But you haven't really heard very much about this guy from Brooklyn. Not yet. I want to know. Here's my thought process. Here's some research for you to do on your own. I want to know what your thoughts are. Do you think the man involved in the Brooklyn incident was part of a secret government operation that, by the means of the CIA, subverted this man, abused this man mentally, guided and steered this man into a hate group like the Black Liberation Army, and then caused this incident? Or do you think the subject that is, detained or arrested right now and is being viewed as the perpetrator of this crime, of this mass shooting, do you think that this is not the guy who originally did it? I've heard reports that there were a sound of a second gunman. All right, I understand that. However, in my mind, and I base a lot of my theories off of government projects that I'm aware of, and also off of things that Russ Dizdar covered with shattered personalities. Could this man have been triggered by something through years and years of being told and fed lies to heighten this man's senses and awareness, to chemically alter this man's brain through suggestive powers. Doesn't even have to be barbiturates at this point in time, but through the powers of suggestion. Could this man have been triggered into doing this incident? Or was he just outright a racist and wanted to kill white people and Asian people, and that's just the end of the story? What do you think? Give me some feedback. If you like this show, please spread it. Share it with your friends and family. If you want me to give you a very interesting breakdown of Operation Mockingbird, shoot me some emails. Let me know. I got plenty of different ways I can discuss this, but I can go into some great depths of detail about Operation Mockingbird that may shock you of just how deep it went and just how prevalent it is in today's society. At the end of the day, whether this guy was a victim of multiple personality syndrome, a victim of persuasion into committing violent acts by a racist group or by a government organization that targeted this man and sped him into the direction that he is, because obviously he has some mental problems. And the FBI and CIA are notorious for doing this, especially when they, you know, bust another jihadist in America. This is how they do it. What are your thoughts? All I can say is don't take the very easy way out and just believing what mainstream media tells you. People would be shocked at the government agencies that are out there that are using everything from advertisement that you see to even some of the scriptures that are being read to you, to the point of how pastors preach, the types of news that are only covered and other news that aren't covered. These things are here to guide you, to influence you into a suggestible state of mind. It's part of the narrative. They want to guide you into the next series of events. I believe the next series of events is a false flag attack that is going to try and pit white Americans versus black Americans to view, to in effect, I guess you could say, to view that either or is trying to kill or subvert the other. What better way to confuse us all by what's happening around the world than to make us turn on one another? I believe in Philadelphia and brotherly love. I have love for everyone in this world, and I seek no evil for any man unless he tries to bring it upon me first. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have for you today. You've got some homework. Do your own investigation into these things. Learn as much as possible. The best thing that we can do as civilians is to be as well informed as possible. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out. all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.